sings a lullaby. You are all that I can desire. Under stars, chilled by the winter. Under an August moon burning above. You are so nice, like paradise to come home to. And love.
The day is my enemy, the night my friend, for I'm always so alone till the day draws to an end. But when the sun goes down and the moon comes through to the monotone of the evening's drone, I'm all alone with you. All through the night, I delight in your close to me. All through the night, from a height far above, you
to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be blue. All your fears are foolish, fancy maybe. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you. Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through. kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too. So smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too, or else I will be melancholy.
We three
softly.
I would like to call to order the City of Goleta's Public Engagement Commission meeting for Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. And we will begin with a Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Next thing we should do is a roll call of the Public Engagement Commission. Ms. Shaw.
Yes, sorry, I was just, I need to pull Commissioners Ibarra and Schneider over. Maybe someone on the back end can help do that while I start taking roll. So let's see, give me 1 second. Commissioner Klein Rothschild, she's absent. Commissioner Massey?
Here.
Commissioner Uribe?
Here.
Commissioner Ibarra? Commissioner Ibarra? I see him on the screen, but I don't know, he might be having some technical difficulties. Youth Commissioner Yao?
Here.
Vice Chair Schneider? I know she's trying to get on, so hopefully she's able to join us momentarily. And Chair Paz?
Here, and I see Commissioner Schneider just joining us right now.
Okay, wonderful. Give her a moment to connect.
Yeah. And we just lost Commissioner Ibarra. Maybe I'll get back on. Meanwhile, do we have any public comment and on any non-agenda items?
I'll ask if anyone wishes to speak on an item not on the agenda, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you. Chair Paz, does not look like we have any public forum right now.
Okay. Well, with that, let's go ahead and move to the first item on our agenda, which is approval of the Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes. Actually, we have three sets that we need to approve, which is December 9th, 2021, January 26th, 2022, and our last meeting, which was June 15th, 2022. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from a commissioner?
I move we approve the minutes of December 9th, 2021, January 26th, 2022, and June 15th, 2022.
Hello.
Yes, hello? We can hear you, Commissioner Ibarra.
Okay. Yeah. They kept on. I want to apologize. They kept on muting me, so that's why I had to press star 6 3 or 4 times. So, anyway, I'm here, and I don't know if somebody has seconded the motions, but I do, and I also. Waiting for the vote.
Right, you're our second. So, Commissioner, do we need a roll call, Michelle?
Yes, we'll need to take a roll call vote on the minutes. So I'll go through again. Commissioner Massey?
Yes.
Commissioner Uribe?
I was not here for the January 28th, but the other ones, I approve, yes.
Okay. Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes, I am, yes.
And Commissioner Yao?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. That moves us to item B1, which is a presentation of the Community Relations Annual Outreach Update. Ms. Hooper, go ahead. Thank you.
Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening, commissioners, and everybody who's watching on our website or on channel 19. Welcome. Sorry for all the technical problems. It's a wacky Wednesday, but we're all settled in now. And for us here at Community Relations for City of Goleta, this is really one of our favorite nights. And this is when we get to share with our Public Engagement Commission and everybody else watching just how we're doing with our outreach. We always are looking for improvement, and we're also very proud, as you'll be able to see, of what we have accomplished this past year in terms of our outreach. So with that, I am going to share my screen and we'll get started with our report. So this is our Community Relations Annual Outreach Update. And I knew it was going too smoothly. Here we go. Oh, here we go. All right. So this is your community relations team. The community relations division at the City of Goleta is made up of now three people. It used to be two. Myself, who's your community relations manager, Kelly Hoover, and my partner in crime, my colleague, who I couldn't survive a day without, Jamie Shaw, my management assistant. And now we are so pleased that we have Marcos Martinez, who is our Spanish engagement specialist. He is now with us full time. He started off, he came from the library as a library technician, and he was working for us part time in community relations, but he was having so much fun with us that he came over full time. And of course the council approved, and you know, it takes three of us, and we're all super busy to accomplish all that we would like. And we have great plans for the future as well, now that we have all three of us working on outreach. So department goals, this really doesn't change. This is our overall goal. We are here to keep the community informed with timely information. We try and turn information quickly, so that it's relatable, and just to keep the community informed about all the things that are happening. The second point here is really important. Our goal is to make information relatable, easy to understand. If we don't understand it, we can't expect the public to understand it. And as you all know, with many of these projects and things going on at the city, we have so many talented people working at the city, but sometimes they don't know how to make things easy for the public to understand. They're thinking high level and planning or whatever it is they're doing. So it's our job to break it down and make it so that people can understand it and know what's happening. Our goal is to increase awareness, make sure that Goleta residents, businesses, stakeholders, that everybody knows what's happening in Goleta. And that goes for the larger community as well. We want people to know what Goleta is up to. And then really to increase our community engagement is one of our main goals. We want more people every year to know what's happening, to make sure that everybody is informed and knows what's going on. So we want to increase our engagement and make sure that everybody has a chance to participate. The other thing is just to build relationships, foster partnerships, and really to showcase the city and the community every chance we get. So how are we reaching the public? Okay, this, for those of you who've watched this every year, this continues to grow. These circles, you know, we keep adding to them because we keep finding new ways to reach people. So I know that you all, many of you are aware of most of these, but I'm gonna go through them just super quickly. You know, we have our city website, Gov Delivery, which are text or email notifications. We have our social media, which is Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We have Nextdoor. We have press releases. We have our monthly Monarch Press newsletter. Of course, we have workshops. We have videos, YouTube. And we also have posters and flyers. And the new things that we've added that are on here, we really have utilized A-frame signs throughout the city. To get our messages out. We're also using light post banners posted throughout the city to get our message out. And also, once in a while, we use phone notifications. We try not to overuse that because people get inundated with phone calls. So we use that very selectively. And then also, of course, I mentioned Channel 19. And one of the new things that we're using more and more is PumpFlix, which is the gas station television monitor. So when people are fueling up their gas, they can receive a short message from the city on a campaign or an event, something that we want people to know about. So that's all the different ways we're reaching people. And our strategy is people get their information all sorts of different ways. So if we want to reach them wherever they are. Some people really only check their next door. They like Facebook, but they don't like Twitter. They like Instagram, or they prefer to just get their information directly from our email notification or text messages. Other people aren't going to do anything until the Monarch Press comes out, and then they're going to read it there. Other people don't want any of this, and they just watch the news, the local news, or read NewsHawk or the paper or the Independent or whatever it is, and that's how they get their news. So we have to make sure that we're reaching people on every single platform that we can. So here is how it's looking for us this year. So in terms of our website data, we have a lot of people that visit our website. This fiscal year, we had 191,744 users. That's up from the prior fiscal year, as you can see. And I think the key here that we'd want you to see is that people are accessing the website via their desktop. We still are struggling with mobile. We hope to see this change when we do the website refresh that we're still working on. That item goes to council so that they can take a look at the website refresh. Once they give us their comments, we're going to get back into making the final website refresh updates. And the goal here would be that people start accessing our website from their mobile device, and we're gonna see this increase. But we are seeing that more people are coming to our website, which is encouraging. I do want to point out that last year, the previous fiscal year, if you see the numbers shifting and looking like more people were visiting the year prior, well, that was because of COVID. We had a lot more users, visitors coming to our website during that time. Now we're starting to see more of a real view of things. So our numbers are a little skewed from the prior year. So it's almost better to use the year before that as a true example. But we are growing the number of people following us on our website, or visiting, I should say. So when you look at our website, what are the top pages people visit? This doesn't seem to change in terms of the library always being the overwhelming, it's amazing how, the library is right there with the homepage. So they have a lot of followers, or visitors, I should say, 70,913, which is more than we saw on our homepage. And then people really are coming to our website for government meetings, agendas and videos, ElwoodMesaButterfly.com. That website actually is no longer, but for a while there, it was, everything was being forwarded there. So that's why we're seeing that much there. But that shows you how much people are interested in the Elwood Mesa 18,000. COVID-19, of course, permits, jobs, library catalog, business license, and the staff directory. So this is really helpful for us to see, so that when we refresh the new website, we can see, okay, we need to really make these prominently featured and easy to find, because this is what people are mainly looking for. Press releases. We love them here at the City of Goleta. We believe in them. We think it's just a great way to get our message out to the media, who then turn and put it on their channels. So we do believe in press releases. I'm going to show you the numbers in a minute, but it's we've increased dramatically since several years ago. I think we had 28 press releases, and now we're up to 215 this past year. So this is definitely a platform that we are really proud of, because if you pick up the paper or you read on any of the news outlets, you're going to see, we're going to read about Goleta. And I think hopefully all of you have noticed that we're getting a lot of coverage. People know what's happening in Goleta. And I do believe that is in large part to all of these press releases that we're sending out. Makes it easy for the media to take the information, quickly turn it, use the pictures we gave them, and turn it into a story without much effort. So we're really seeing the benefits of that. In terms of our social media, we're cruising along. We have 5,500 followers on Facebook, 4,000 followers on Twitter, and Instagram, we're getting close to 2,000. So these methods of communication for us are growing, but at a slow pace, I would say. It's not our fastest growing platform, but I think we're doing some really great messaging on there. We're starting to be more innovative with our social media, and I expect to see these numbers grow in the next year. And we're going to, as a team, kind of sit down and make some goals for ourselves of how we can grow our social media more. Because if you look at what we're doing, it's very consistent. We're putting a lot of information out there. One of our fastest growing platforms continues to be Nextdoor. I mean, we have 11,000 followers on Nextdoor, and it just grows without barely any effort. People are just constantly signing up for Nextdoor. So it's an important way for us to communicate is on Nextdoor, and we do. We continue to put together videos, and that's been very successful for us. This past year, we did 34 videos. So we continue to make that a priority. It's always interesting to see what people care about and what we have been looking at, insights on all of our social media and the monarch butterflies. Of course, anytime you even show a picture or mention the monarch butterflies, people really care about that. We had a post in December, on December 22nd, 2021, and you can see the reactions we received about the thought that they might be returning to the Grove is exciting to the public, and they care about that. They also care about really, really just happy, positive stories of, a community member turning 100 years old. That will get interest. Videos, anything regarding safety. So we really are looking to for any just personal stories of success of showcasing Goleta community members. It can seem like something simple, but it resonates with the community, and that's more of what we want to be doing. It instills a lot of Goleta pride, I should say. So Gov Delivery is a fantastic way for us to communicate. We're growing every year in this area, and it's really exciting. As you know, it means something when you get your cell phone and you get a text message directly from the city of Goleta, or you get an email directly from the city of Goleta. People appreciate getting that direct contact. So we're finding that more and more people are wanting to connect with us this way. We have almost 43,000 people subscribed to receive email and text notifications from us. That number has increased. We sent out 925 notifications last year. And for the most part, we hear, thank you for all this information. We rarely get someone saying, please stop. And if they do write us and say, hey, too much, we kind of look at their, what they're signed up for, and we try and help them so that they're not getting too much information from the city. And we do definitely think through, okay, we've sent 3 or 4 things out today. We don't want to inundate people. Let's space it out over the next couple of days so that we're not bombarding people with too much information. But at the same time, there's so many great things happening that we want to make sure that we're getting everything out to the community. So Monarch Press, that's another really popular, growing platform for us. We have a monthly newsletter. The September one is actually going out here soon. And people are continuing to ask to be signed up for the Monarch Press. We have 11 issues a year, 314 articles we had last fiscal year, and we have 5,400 people subscribed to sign up. And of those, only 59 ask for a print version. We still do, if someone says they'd like it printed and mailed to them, we will do that. We're finding most people at this point would prefer receiving it electronically, but we do have people that really appreciate receiving it in the mail, and we're happy to do that for anybody who needs it. This is really a new way that we're communicating, and I hopefully all of you have seen the light post banners and the A-frames. This is a really important way for us to just let people know what's happening. We have to be very selective because light post banners are costly, but we're slowly trying to replace the ones that we have, because it used to be that would be, you know, spring flowers or a poinsettia. And we're finding, wait a minute, that's such a great way to communicate to the public, you know, whether it's the Goleta right here celebrating 20 years, or it's the census, or, you know, we're actually putting some together right now for the November election, just to remind people about that. So, you know, we have to be very selective about what we choose, because we'd like to be able to reuse them every year if possible. They are expensive. And you also have to be very simple with the message. You can't put too much on there, because when you're driving, obviously, in your car, there's only so much you can take in. And we want them to be very visually appealing. So look for those light post banners. You're going to see more to come. And now you'll know that we're very strategic about what we choose for those. And then the A-frame signs, we've heard great things about these. They're all over town, and they do let people know, oh, district elections, or that one was the one on the screen there is for the dam dinner. I've had people say, I didn't know that that was happening, but I saw the sign. So we're really excited about that. And if anything, we'd like to purchase more of these and have them in more places, because we just kind of started it off with, you know, I think 24, 25 signs we have, which is not a lot, but it kind of is spread throughout the city. So, you know, hopefully we can grow the number of A-frames, because people really do see them and appreciate them. So here is kind of the wrap up. This is a lot of information. I know it's in your report, but for people at home, I do kind of want to go over this a little bit, just to really show you what we're doing here. So for fiscal year 21-22, the number of Gov Delivery subscribers was 27,000, up from 19,000 in fiscal year 19-20. And the reason I'm skipping over 2021 is because that year was obviously COVID, and we were sending out daily COVID numbers every single day for Goleta, if you recall. And so we were sending out so many messages that we normally wouldn't do. And then also the number of delivery, the bulletins we sent out, almost 1,000, 2021-22. If you look compared to 19-20, that's almost double. And then in terms of Spanish, if you look in fiscal year, even go back to 18-19, we had less than 500 Spanish subscribers signed up for Gov Delivery. We're now you know, reaching 1,000. So it does take time, but with our Spanish engagement specialists now that we have on board, we're doing a lot more of our messaging in Spanish. We're gonna kick up our strategy on how to reach more people who speak Spanish, you know, over the next year. But you can see we are making great progress. And if you look at the number of bulletins we sent, look at that. In 2018-19, only 8 Spanish bulletins. And now we're at 179 last fiscal year. So that's exciting. Thank you, Sylvia. And then for website users, you can see we continue to grow. I'm not going to compare it to fiscal year 2021, but if you look fiscal year 19-20, we had 141,000. Now we've doubled that. We have more than 300,000 people visiting our website, desktop traffic has increased. Mobile traffic, we've talked about that. It's struggling a little bit. We're gonna improve that with the website refresh. And then our press releases, this one always, Jamie and I always marvel at, especially because we had 28 in 2018-19, and now we're up to 215, we talked about. And Monarch Press articles, we had 117 back in 2018-19, and now we're up to 314. So we're increasing that every single year, the number of articles that we have in the Monarch Press. Facebook followers, you'll see, it continues to be just a slow, steady climb. We're at 5,500. And in terms of the posts, it's pretty much the same as years prior, maybe a little bit less this past year. But you know, we really do want to see more growth in our Facebook and Twitter across all of our social media, actually. If you look at Twitter, you'll see that's also a slow climb. We're up to 4,000 followers. We only had 2,700 though in fiscal 18-19, so we are growing. And we are tweeting and retweeting. We had almost 1,000 tweets and retweets last year. And in terms of Instagram followers, we have made great progress. If you look at 2018-19, we didn't even have Instagram. And now we have almost 2,000 followers on Instagram. I will say that Marcus Martinez is really, really well-versed with social media, and he's slowly started to kind of help us and add to these platforms for us. He's, you know, it really is an art and a skill to, even on Instagram, you have to really know what you're doing to tag and share and hashtag and, you know, all the different things that come with Instagram. And he knows how to, you know, really use the story aspect of Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So he is really, really gonna help us up our game and get more people following us on those platforms. And then Nextdoor, we had 557 bulletins on Nextdoor in fiscal year 21-22. And that continues to climb, except for the 2020-21 because of COVID, as we've talked about. So that really is the outreach report in terms of the numbers. I am happy to take any questions you have on how you think we're doing and what maybe you would like to see improved, or any questions you have on the presentation itself.
I just had one. My apologies, you can go.
This is Beth Schneider. I just want to say that I'm on the phone and staring at your report. So this is the best that we could accomplish here tonight. I do have one question because I read the report and I'm looking at this data.
Can I ask the commissioners before you do that, if the commissioners want to say anything, thank you, Commissioner Uribe and Commissioner Yao, so that we can call people in order before you do that. I will.
Okay, I cannot see you. That's the problem.
Yeah, so I'll call upon you as a phone, commissioners, Commissioner Ibarra, Commissioner Schneider, and Commissioner Massey. If you have a comment, which Commissioner Schneider, you already do, does Commissioner Ibarra or Commissioner Massey have a question?
I don't have a question at present.
Okay. So with that, I will go first with Commissioner Yao, and then we'll go to Commissioner Schneider, and then Commissioner Uribe. So Commissioner Yao.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to quickly say, first off, I think the engagement is pretty surprising in a very good way. The fact that the government delivery app, I think it's an app, had 72%, I think that's very high. But a way to increase public engagement, in my opinion, with even just watching the meetings, would be YouTube Live, in my opinion. I think that a lot of there may be some reluctancy to watch the meetings on television just because everything's so digital these days. And with the YouTube Live, you know, that would also increase subscriber count to the actual Goleta YouTube, which could bring more traffic to other videos posted. But I just thought that was my two cents on that.
Thank you, Commissioner Yao. We'll go to Commissioner Schneider and then Commissioner Uribe.
I think that the increase in outreach is phenomenal. So let me say that. I have one question I don't know exactly how to think about this question that I'm asking you, but so much of, well, having just had this terrible time with technology and assistance, I do worry about people who do not have the technology and do not have the assistance. Most of these things require technology, and I'm worried about whether or not in doing this kind of outreach, we're missing people who are otherwise we might see at the farmer's market or otherwise don't have access to some of these means of communicating. And I don't know if there's an answer to that at this point, but it was something that when I was reading and looking, I was wondering. So I don't know if there's an answer to that or if this is a suggestion to think about that some more and have our outreach person think about this some more as well. That's the thought to Kelly and the team.
Thank you, Commissioner Schneider. Commissioner Uribe.
Hi there. Well, I just want to say that I am really, really impressed with what you have presented us. It's an increase that I didn't expect, you know, and it is great to see that people are responding to everything that you and your team are doing. It's really cool to see that the level of engagement, like Kyle said, and I think that we are in a very good path here. So thank you for all your work. That's very impressive. I was talking about the Spanish part, I was looking at your A signs, and I saw that half of one of those was in Spanish, which is really important because everybody goes everywhere and everybody can see that. So keep up with that. And yeah, I agree with Ms. Schneider in the fact that we need to do more in-person outreach and to provoke engagement that way. And the farmer's market is something that I have proposed in the past too, to have tables there. I was thinking maybe to be invited to, but invited and with a table, like a formally invited to the city events, and maybe for us to the commission to have badges with identification as the Public Engagement Commission, so we can mingle with the people, not just be sitting at the table, but mingle with the people and show our badge and say, hey, we're here, you want to connect, these are the new things, that kind of thing, because it's never too much to go out and talk to people. You know, I mean, technology is great, but the personal contact, it is very important, even for those who are well-versed in technology. So those are my cents.
Chair, Paz?
Yes, Commissioner Ibarra.
I don't know if this is the proper place in the agenda to ask this, so I'm going to ask it if I'm out. I should say it for C2, then I understand. But have we tried to partner with other departments and other organizations that we can partner with to even spread the word more? And I'm talking about animal control, the traffic department, when it comes to parking, animal control. I read someplace, or I was told, or I heard that there's an increase in animal bites and animal attacks in some of the neighborhoods. So I was wondering if it's something that we could invite, for example, animal control or our traffic department, or even the sheriff, to see how we can partner with them to continue to increase the participation from the public. Even at some of the forums, if these issues can come out and we could present these issues to the public and see what concerns they have. Again, it's just an observation on my part. I have to tell you, I'm very impressed, and I have to say, Kelly Hoover and staff, Marcos and Jamie, I can see with just with the increase in the Spanish speaking, but there's been a lot of hard work, and I'm really, really happy.
Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra. I think that your comments may apply to what we have on the agenda a little later on in terms of our direction and future direction. I will go to Commissioner Yao. You have another comment?
Yeah, just a quick comment in regards to Commissioner Schneider's comment. I think that technological access is definitely something I may have overlooked in my suggestion of creating a YouTube Live for both just commission meetings in general. But I think one common fact is that, you know, everyone goes outside eventually. And I, for one, really liked the A-frames, or as I just knew in my head, the street signs. I think that they brought to attention a lot of important things, like both the dinner and the redistricting in places with very high foot traffic. Like I noticed them in Camino, Camino Real, most prominently. But I think that there are other areas where they could also be placed, such as, for example, the Hollister Village supermarket, or not supermarket, ice shopping area, I think. But I think that's just a good place to start, perhaps.
Thank you, Commissioner Yao. I'm going to comment and say I am so impressed with the work that you all are doing, Kelly and Jamie and Marcos. It's so great. I'm always, when I have the opportunity to talk about the work that we're doing in City of Goleta, I'm always very proud of that part of the work that we do. I like to show off and talk about you all and what we do as a commission, but importantly, staff, including to other people that work at other cities. So really, I've had that opportunity to talk to other people. So thank you for everything you've done. I think it's very impressive, and it shows. I mean, I get something from you all at least once a week that I'll come across on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, because I've subscribed to all of them. And so thank you for all of that. I just had one quick question, and it's more of a kind of a clarification question. I know that there are a number of videos that sometimes are posted to Facebook. And then you were mentioning, Kelly, about the videos that are posted to YouTube. And I was wondering if there's a difference between sort of what you would post to YouTube versus what you would post as a video on, say, Facebook, or even a small video on Instagram or something.
Thank you for the question, Chair Paz. So the videos that we're doing, we normally do sometimes several versions. We'll do a shorter version for Instagram. For PumpFlix, the gas station, they will not take longer than 29 seconds. So a lot of times we're doing different versions of same video. And of course we do Spanish as well. But in terms of, we're putting it on our YouTube channel, but that same video is being put on Facebook, our website. It's the same video that we're using on all the different platforms, but we want people to be able to go to YouTube and just see all of our videos so they can just look at all of them. We do realize that even a video that's several minutes long, people don't really have the patience for it sometimes. And so if we want, you know, we'll do longer videos, but we need to do shorter ones because people are busy and they have a lot of information coming at them. And so, you know, we try and not make them super long and keep them more on the short side with less to take in.
Thank you for that. I was a little curious about that in terms of if you did, in fact, and you answered my question. So yes, there is a difference. Thank you. Any last questions or comments, commissioners, before we move on to the next item? Do we have any?
This is Barbara.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to make a comment. I think you've all handled it better than I will, but particularly the comments by Commissioner Schneider and Ibarra, Uribe, about the non-computer people. And I think it would be good for us, even with COVID, to get out and be talking with them. And that will encourage people. I know talking to people around here, yeah, I encourage them to, well, go to this and try listening to this, or, you know, try different things. And if it's somebody that they can talk to, they can ask questions and they will feel more comfortable about going. And I have to add that I just adore the pump flicks, because usually when I'm standing there pumping gas, I get all this mumbly junk. And the first time I had Kelly's voice come over with something really intelligent, I thought, my God, where am I? It was a different world. It's refreshing, and I really enjoy those. And also the pole signs are really nice. They call attention to something really important, and I think they're well worth the money that you're spending on those. But generally, you're doing a fabulous job. In fact, the last Monarch Press was so long that I still haven't finished it. But I will try to do it quickly so I can start on the new one when it comes. But thank you to Kelly and Jamie, because they're the only two I've been dealing with, for all you've done and all the help you are to everybody. We are known now as a city where I don't think we were until we've had this great work that you two have done. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Commissioner Massey. Before we move on to the next agenda item, do we have any public comment?
Chair Paz, at this time, we don't have anybody else in the meeting, so there's no public comment for this
okay.
item.
Thank you for clarifying. All right, let us move on to item C1, Know Your District Campaign. Ms. Hoover.
First of all, before we move on, I can't help but just say thank you for all your wonderful comments. We are so lucky to have such a supportive public engagement commission, and it's just wonderful to be able to come to you and show you what we're up to and have you provide such great feedback. I love the YouTube Live suggestion. I love having the idea of having you all involved more in the outreach and in being our public engagement commission, boots on the ground sort of type of a scenario, and really great ideas about more A-frames and where we could put them. So all of your ideas mean a lot to us, and it's really nice to have you appreciate and see all that we're doing and notice it. So I just want to say thank you for your support. And, you know, tomorrow, if you think of something else, you know, you can always reach out to Jamie, Marcos, or myself and say, oh, you know, why don't you try this or try that? Or even if you see a message that maybe comes out that we send you that you thought maybe it needed something else, or we could do something more with it. Yeah, this is a great chance to talk about it. But if you think of something tomorrow, or the next week or thereafter, please feel free to reach out anytime, because we're always ready for suggestions. And we can't wait to come back next year and see all that we're going to accomplish with having Marcos Martinez now on our team. I think this report 1 year from now is going to be really exciting. So I'm looking forward to it already. So with that, we'll go to the next item, which is also about outreach, and that is Know Your District campaign. So you all were deeply involved in helping the city of Goleta do outreach to the community to draw our district boundaries for our first ever district elections. As you know, so much went into that effort to engage the public, to have them, our community, involved in drawing those district lines, thinking through all of it. Now we have our map. Now, before you know it, the district election is going to be here in November. We're already almost in September. So now what we want to do is make sure that our community understands what district elections are, what this means to them. I think we're having a little bit of feedback. Someone needs to mute their phone. There you go. So this is a really exciting time. our first, it's historic for the city of Goleta that we're moving to district elections. We have our map, we have our districts drawn, we're ready to go. Now we just need to make sure that the public is informed about what district they're in and that everyone understands that we're doing things differently this time. So what we want to do tonight is to talk to you all about here is what we're doing to reach the community and explain this and make sure there's no confusion. And do you all have any other ideas of what we could do that maybe we're not thinking of already? So much of this is going to be predictable to you, especially following that outreach report, but let me tell you what we're planning on. Obviously, we have on our website an elections page. It's still a work in progress, but that is going to be a source for people to go to and get all the information that they need. So our website is going to be really important, that elections page. Another thing that is really important with the district elections is we have an interactive map that is going to be, it's not going to be, it's actually on our website, I believe, or it's Jamie. I think it's on there now.
Yes,
Jamie, is it?
Yes, that link is up on the website now. Let me know if you want me to share the page at any point.
Great. I think I'm seeing heads nodding. So yeah, let's do it. Let's share okay, the-
Give me a second to pull it up and share.
Okay, I will explain while she's getting it ready. The interactive map is fantastic. So it's a way that the public can literally punch in their address and it will show them what district they're in. So what we're making sure that people understand is that if they live in districts 1 and 2, they're going to vote for a council member who lives in their district. If they're not, then if they're in district 3 and 4, then that will be in 2024. But that everyone, regardless, should be looking to see what district they're in to find out if they're voting for a council member this election or in 2024. And of course, we want everyone to get out and vote on the two ballot measures that are going to be on the Goleta ballot this year, which are the 1% sales tax and also the flavored tobacco ban ordinance. But tonight, what we're focused on is just making sure that people know their district and how we get that message out. So Jamie, she's still working on it. So in the meantime, I can also tell you that other methods that we are doing is we have a mailer going to every Goleta voter that will explain what district, the district election, and we'll have a link to the interactive map, a QR code for those that are using QR codes. So it'll be very easy. It'll go to every voter and it will explain what the district elections are and how it works. We're also going to be using those light post banners that you saw. We have some really nice Goleta election light post banners going up that say know your districts. There also will have the A-frames again throughout town that will also show people how to access the interactive map and will get people, you know, excited about and seeing, oh yeah, it's the November election. It's important for Goleta. I need to understand my district and need to vote on a council member if I live in that district or on the ballot measures that are on the November Goleta ballot. Jamie, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm gonna share my screen now. So can you all see the elections page? So this is where we will be directing people, and we're going to have a short URL. It will just be cityofgoleta.org/elections. You can try it out after this meeting. What you're seeing here now is just the full URL, but people won't have to remember all that. And then you scroll down to district elections. You'll be able to click on the link for the interactive map. And it's going to take a second to load. Here we go. So for some reason it shows up a little small on my screen, but hopefully that doesn't happen for other people. Here's where you would enter your address. So I put that I put in City Hall, and it popped up in the blue region, which you'll be able to see is District 2. I'm sorry it's not showing up that well on my Google Chrome right now. Kelly, if you want to talk more, I can try to pull it up on a different browser.
I think hopefully you all get the gist. Basically, it's going to be really simple. You go and click on the map, you plug in your address, and it's going to tell you what district you're in. And you know, for some people, they may think they live in Goleta and plug in their address and realize, oh, I'm not actually in the city of Goleta. But this map is very actually intuitive, even though it doesn't come across as it is right now on this shared screen. But this is, we're going to be letting the public know every single channel platform that we have about district elections. We're going to be using the A-frames, the light post banners, the mailer. We are doing a video. Actually, we're shooting it tomorrow with Deborah Lopez, our city clerk, and our deputy city clerk, David. And they are going to do a short video on district elections and knowing your districts. And you will see that on all of our channels. You will see it on PumpFlix and everywhere. So that's going to be another great tool for us. And we're also going to have Marcos do the video in Spanish as well. So those are the ideas we have. And we are happy to hear other ideas if you have any that you would like to share with us.
Commissioners, if you would like to give a comment or a suggestion, please either raise your hand, or for those on the phone, let me know right now that you want to talk. I do have a suggestion. One of the things, and then we'll go to Ms. Uribe since I already started. One of the things that I always think about in terms of Goleta, especially having lived here for the period of time that I have, is that the city's changed over time. But if you lived here, sort of the period of time that I've lived here, which being raised here is now 50 some odd years, I can tell you what existed in certain parts of the city and what didn't, you know, what no longer exists. And so my suggestion is, for getting to know your district campaign, Commissioner Ibarra, if you could mute yourself, that would be really helpful, because I think we're getting feedback from you. One of the suggestions I have is to know your district is to pick out a landmark on that particular district and say, you know, as if you do a Facebook post, if you live in close to this particular landmark, right? You're probably in District 2, or you're in District 3, or whatever. And that way people at least get a sense of like, oh yeah, I live here. What district am I in? Well, you're probably in District 2, but if you want to check, go ahead, and then you can direct them to the map where they can put their address. That's one way of doing it. And I would suggest too that's a good way to think about it, at least in my viewpoint, of also engaging more of our city residents to kind of get to know the city and get to know different landmarks, different parts. And you can even take that as an offshoot and say, you know, in the past, in this particular district, we had the following that used to exist in the city of Goleta as a history part, right? You can use that for future things or another campaign. So that's my thought, because especially, like I said, having lived here, I know a lot of people are not aware of stuff that used to exist in the city of Goleta. I mean, if you lived here long enough, you know that the habit originated in the city of Goleta, you know, downtown. How many people know that? You live here long enough, you know that. So that's a suggestion. Any other commissioners want to comment before I turn it back to Ms. Hoover?
I would.
Go ahead, Mr. Ibarra.
I would.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to follow up with saying on the A-frame signs that you put up, if we could put them up in those areas that do have, for example, the district elections for the city council persons. I was getting coffee, and this is just an observation, an everyday observation from a person. There was a group of three or four individuals that were walking out, and one of them pointed at one of the signs. and then they started talking about it. I think if, since we don't have physical monuments as boundaries, those signs could be a good indicator for folks that are going to the coffee break, that are going to meetings, that are going to the lunch, to be able to know at least where the areas where they're gonna, where they will be having council member elections would be helpful. That's why I suggested that there would be something on our website at our previous meeting about landmarks here. Like, for example, Hamburger Habit, some of the landmarks that people say, hey, I remember when, but are still institutions here in the city of Goleta that still have ties to the community. So anyway, that's as far as the rest of the presentation on the Know Your District campaign. I think the interactive map is really good, but of course the outreach into areas, especially the Spanish-speaking areas, would be quite helpful to spread the word. But I like what I see. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra. Commissioner Uribe, did you have a comment? Okay, thank you. Any other commissioners? If not, I'll turn it back to Ms. Hoover for anything else you want to add.
Thank you, everyone, for listening and for your ideas. They're all well noted. And again, I'll echo, if you think of anything tomorrow or down the road, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. But yeah, look for us to really, I mean, it's election season. This is the time. This is when you're going to start seeing all of our messaging go out on this. Again, if you have any other ideas, please don't hesitate to let us know.
Looks like Commissioner Uribe, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just thinking maybe on the buses. On the buses, depending on the route of the bus or whatever, this is your district, or, you know, this is district so and so, whatever. But the buses are very good places to announce things. That's it.
Thanks. Thank you. And you know, one method that we haven't mentioned is flyers. Mm-hmm. Flyers are really important. We'll have flyers everywhere as well. We strategically place them, obviously, at all the parks and any shops that will allow you to hang up a flyer. So we'll be doing a lot of that as well.
Thank you. All right, no other comment. Do we have any other public comments?
No, Chair Paz, I just wanted to let you know there's no one in the audience, so there's no public comment on this item.
Thank you. Let us move to item C2, which is the future of the Public Engagement Commission. And I believe Ms. Schmidt, you are leading this discussion.
Yes, thank you, Chair Paz and Public Engagement Commissioners. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited about this item and hope that you are too. As you know, this Public Engagement Commission was really created coming out of a legal settlement agreement with the District Elections Committee. And it was created by resolution for some very specific purposes. And those included considering whether the city should become a charter city, whether council members should be paid greater compensation, whether city council meetings should be scheduled after 5 p.m., whether the mayor's term should be 4 years instead of 2 years, how to increase resident participation in government, and the district mapping process, of course, as the shining star at the end, and any other matters as directed by the city council. And so it was really created for that limited scope. And as you all know, we've really taken that public engagement commission and you have really been there for us to talk a much broader scope. We've brought you all sorts of updates and questions about how to engage the community, how best to communicate with the community, and many other different things. So with the sort of all of the items that were on that itemized list already completed, And with the Public Engagement Commission having established itself as really essential to the City Council and to staff in the advice and guidance that you provide us, it's time for us to consider, again, the commission was created by resolution. So really making this, putting it in the municipal code. All of our other boards and commissions are in the municipal code. And so codifying the existence of the Public Engagement Commission, and then also deciding, okay, what is the ongoing charge for the commission? What is the sort of the purpose and the types of responsibilities for advising the City Council that we want to ask you to perform? So it's in your staff report. I'm going to share my screen, and hopefully I'm able to do that. Yes. Share the right one. Okay. So hopefully you are seeing the report here. And can I, Chair Paz, can you nod if you are seeing the report and my cursor? All right, good. So the Public Engagement Commission, the first thing we would do is establish a purpose. So the Public Engagement Commission will be to advise the City Council on matters related to public engagement in city government. So what we do day to day in city government and in city governance, which is, you know, participating in boards and commissions, running for office, coming and participating in other ways in the governance of the city as well. The commission will provide residents with a venue to address opportunities and ways to improve public outreach and increase public engagement. And that would include not be limited to participation in public meetings and events, participation on city boards and commissions, or running for public office. The commission would advise the council on ensuring that a diversity of perspectives, geographically, demographically, linguistically, et cetera, are invited to be considered in the public decision-making. And so we're thinking, that we're reaching all of our neighborhoods, that we're reaching all of our demographics, that we're reaching seniors and we're reaching young people, that we are reaching people who speak Spanish, and increasingly we see Chinese dialects here. So making sure that we are reaching all of those people and inviting everyone to the table. So the responsibilities would be broadly making recommendations about how the public can become informed about and influence public decisions, how to interest and encourage people to become engaged with political life, and you all are, but how do we engage more people to come out and participate in civic and political life through elected, appointed, and volunteer positions? How the city should best communicate with residents to inform them about public problems, issues, and policy matters. And you did a lot of that this afternoon. What venues and technologies and available platforms should be used to best reach and inform residents about city government? We got some of those recommendations tonight. How to ensure equitable communication and outreach, and how to ensure that all residents are invited to engage with the city government and comfortable doing so, right? So not just inviting people, but making it a comfortable place for people to feel like they are welcome, including Spanish speakers and historically underrepresented groups. And how to best involve residents in political discussion and deliberation on city matters through making public comments, surveying, community surveys, stakeholder outreach, and other means, and then any other matters as directed by the City Council. And we know that they've directed a couple of very specific questions to you over the last few years, and I believe they will continue to do that. So that would be the purpose and scope that we're thinking of, and we wanted to get your feedback on that. All boards and commissions are advisory to the City Council. So all boards and commissions are policy advisors, and the City Council retains policy making and financial authority. So, so that is it's kind of the role that you've found for yourselves already, you know, kind of as a natural fit. But I wanted to get your input on that. And maybe I'll pause there and see if there are any questions about that.
Commissioners, any questions, comments? I do have a question.
Sure.
Don't have anything. I'm wondering if staff or maybe a future discussion that council may have as to when we're talking about the geography and making sure the diversity of this, you know, the city is represented on various boards. And I'm wondering if staff have considered thinking about maybe perhaps recommending to council that each of the council members, as they move into representing various districts, have the ability to appoint at least one member from their respective districts to the Public Engagement Commission. Because I know that, you know, when we were formed, we may have been skewed in some way, shape, or form in representing the city or over-representing the city in certain parts, right? And I think when we look at the city and having perhaps the ability to have one public engagement commissioner from each of the districts would be great. If that could be something that they would consider. Just a thought. Yeah.
I can certainly present that as a question if the commission wanted to recommend that to the City Council. You could ask, you know, does that make sense to the commission? And if the commission wants to make that recommendation, I can certainly take that to the City Council.
I'm wondering if any of our commissioners have any thoughts about that, what I just finished saying. Sorry, it's quiet. Yes, no? Mr. Ibarra.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Mr.
Ibarra. Yes, were you asking a specific question? I wanted to chime in on what I had mentioned earlier. So I was wondering if you had a specific question they were asking the commissioners.
Yeah, the question I have, the specific question is whether you would be in support of my recommendation that staff bring up the issue that at least when we look at the districts that that each council member who's elected for each district have the ability to appoint or recommend a public engagement commissioner from each of their respective districts. I know it's been a little different in the past because you know, we all applied at a certain point in time. And my point was that we may have overrepresented certain parts of the city.
I would be reluctant to, because as the commission continues to define its role, I would want representation or stakeholders to be chosen for their skills or what they bring to the commission. So for the time being, maybe a hybrid, one or two, and then the rest from different districts. But I'm reluctant at this specific point because our roles haven't been yet defined. Once we define what the commission will be doing in the future, I think it's something we should look at.
Okay. So maybe it's a discussion point we leave for the future to bring up again and maybe have a little discussion after tonight, perhaps.
Okay.
Now I was also, now this is a part where I can discuss what I had thought at, that I had brought up about partnering with, other groups,
I think it's it's appropriate, but let me just quickly ask if any other
go ahead.
Any comments about
I'll mute myself again.
Yeah, the last point I brought up. Any comments, Commissioner Uribe?
I think that is a very good idea, actually. I think that the only risk, I would say, I guess, I need to think more about this, but the only risk is would be that each council member then will have kind of their own representative in one place. And as it is, we're a small city, and I don't know that we want that segmentation of the whole city, you know, completely. So I don't know. We need to think more about this, I think.
Yeah,
because it's going to be too fractioned, I think, if it one council member, one public engagement commissioner, and all of that. I think it could be too much fractioning the whole city. But I don't know.
And it could be the case that we actually look at, or I would amend my thing and suggest that perhaps we have a representative from each of the districts rather than the council selecting a representative from each of the districts. So that's what I would amend. Commissioner Yao, you have your hand up.
Thank you. I just wanted to, I think this is the part where youth and youth commissioner really shines in, because truth be told, I don't have too much experience in regards to the specifics of your comment. I think that it would certainly what I'm trying to say is I think that is very representative and in a, I think, very fair way, right? One from each district. I think that's good. It's just, I feel like it could be a bit difficult to implement that. It seems logistically taxing because it would require a lot of coordination, in my opinion. But again, that's just from the insight that I have. It could be the total, you know, opposite. But yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I think these are all kind of points that are good to draw out to think about in terms of that, because I think what we're, you know, when we were charged, when we were formed, we were also charged with looking at district elections because of the same question I kind of posed, which is equal representation from each of the parts of our community. So it's good to think these through because it can play both ways.
I have a concern about doing this because I've lived too many places, maybe. I've seen it happen where you do something like this, and then all of a sudden you're forming your little group of people in your district that fight the others for various things. It became contentious and was not useful, and you got poorer quality people, because if your district doesn't have anybody that really has the knowledge and the real interest, is more interested in representing themselves and their little group, you have a problem where it hurts the whole concept and hurts the whole board, commission, what have you. So I have real concerns about having a person from each district. But that's, you know, just from my experience.
Yeah, I think, you know, my comment is because we are moving to district elections, that same question, Commissioner Massey, would be posed to future elected council members. So I think that's part of the issue, is that when we were formed, one of the questions that we had is how do we fairly represent the entire city? And through district elections, that was the task that we had as one of our tasks. So that is the only reason I'm bringing it up, in terms of, as commissioners, would we want to have that sort of same representation that we're now had been tasked to do with council. So that's the reason I'm bringing it up. Let us move on to Commissioner Ibarra's comment, because I know he had a separate comment. And so let's go to that one. Go ahead, Commissioner Ibarra.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and other fellow members of the commission. Having watched some of the and participated in some of the city council meetings that have been in the past couple of months, I see that there was some topics that that came up, and there was a realization, at least an acceptance, that there needed to be some type of either partnering with the Goleta Union School District, some of the school districts in the area, or the departments that touch Goleta, and also neighborhood issues which may affect some parts of the Goleta community, and some parts that, for example, and some of the traffic control, traffic issues, parking issues. I also made the comment about the animal control. I know the Santa Barbara County Animal Control used to come out on a regular basis through the neighborhoods to do outreach and make sure that pets, dogs were immunized, and if they didn't, give them a place to go, the licenses. So those are some of the things that I think we could partner with some of the departments and invite some of these departments to come to one of our meetings and discuss how we could better help them put out the word, or how we can talk to community stakeholders out there. As I mentioned earlier, I had read or I had heard that there was an increase in animal attacks in certain neighborhoods, and that kind of concerned me, because there should be some outreach in the communities, in the neighborhoods, of what there are concerns. Are there concerns with parking, with tenant issues, property owner issues? And I know though it's mostly somewhere in other areas that we could talk to communities and invite them, or at least get input from them. The Goleta Union School District is a good one. Going to the Parent Teacher Association meetings and see how we can partner with them, any community issues that they have that they would like to help from the city. And I think it would be a good opportunity for us to be able to do that. So I don't know what other commissioners feel, but I think those are some of the issues. Having the Sheriff's Department, what could they get, how could they work with the Public Engagement Commission to try and make their work a little easier, all the way from getting information out on loud parties, where I know with law enforcement being having the resources strained on weekends, maybe there's something that we could put out there jointly, or some of the issues. Neighborhood issues are what the public engagement is about. So anyway, I'm just putting that out there. I think when I heard the city, some of the city council members, some of the issues say that they would like to start some.
I think we lost Commissioner Carter. Go ahead, Ms. Schmidt.
Yeah, I got it muted itself. So anyway, those are some of the issues I'm looking at, and maybe there are some city departments that we could work with some of the issues or concerns that they may have, and say, look, this is how you can help us put out the word, or how can you help us do that? So anyway, that's just a thought I've had.
Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra. Ms. Schmidt, go ahead.
Yes, Chair Paz, Commissioner Ibarra, and commissioners. As Commissioner Ibarra was speaking, I sort of jotted down something that I think could be included within the responsibilities of the commission, if you're interested in that, which is identifying opportunities to develop partnerships with other public agencies and entities to improve public understanding about issues of mutual concern. And that's, to me, that's what I heard Commissioner Ibarra say. I can repeat that if you'd like.
I think that sounds really good. I don't know about Commissioner Ibarra's reaction, but I think it sounds really good to me.
Yes.
I'm unmuted again. Yes, I think that exactly as Ms. Schmidt has said, I think that's a good, I'd be very much interested in that.
Okay. I think that fits very well within the overall sort of responsibilities and scope that we're talking about here. So I and I don't need a vote. I can just go ahead and take that to the council as a recommendation, because I think we
thank you.
So I have a couple more things. I don't know, was there more about what we've talked about so far, or shall I move on?
Commissioner Uribe has her hand up. Go ahead.
Am I on? Yeah. Okay. So anything, I know that you, Ms. Schmidt, you have a lot of experience, and I'm sure you have the best ideas that can be out there. So, but the only thing I would like for you to think about this commission, and I talk for myself, but I am thinking that everybody could be interested, is I want to be part of the commission, and the commission to be kind of the warm part of the city, the person-to-person part of the city. The hey, I need to have this information, and they can find each one of us at least everywhere in different events, in different things. So that's the thing that I see this commission as the main role. If we really want to encourage people and inform people, and that I think that we need to do that. We need to be out there because the staff doesn't have time to do that, of course. And that would be, I think, part of a very good service that we can do, an active service, because so far it's been here, you know, talking about the city and the needs of the city and the maps, but engagement, we have not had direct engagement with people. So that's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Uribe.
Yes, you're welcome.
Schmidt.
I am taking a note, and probably I don't know that I can on the fly develop an actual language on that, but I think I'm hearing the point, and the sort of acting as a engagement representative within the community to encourage people, you know, kind of that sort of outward facing, you know, encouraging people to engage with the city and playing that role. I will come up with something like that, because I think that fits nicely as well.
That sounded very good.
something like that. But I think that's very good feedback.
Thank you.
So if we're ready.
I would agree with Commissioner Uribe. I think that, we have a lot to celebrate in the city of Goleta, and there's a lot of good stuff that happens. And I think we're all here because of that, because we love our city. And so I would agree with you 100%, Commissioner Uribe.
Thank you, kind of a liaison.
Yeah.
Okay, so the a couple more sort of administrative details. We are recommending we continue to consist of 7 members. There are some commissions that are just 5 members. This commission, I think, works well with 7, including a youth member. So we would continue that. The commission would hold meetings at least quarterly, 4 times a year, but probably more often. We've all of our commissions, we have the ability to hold special meetings in addition to that when there are agenda items that we'd like to talk about. The terms of office would continue to be 4 years and staggered as they are now. So every 2 years, approximately half of the terms expire, and then, you know, the rest of them expire the 2 years later, so that you don't have everybody new at one time. Vacancies would continue to be filled by the mayor pursuant to the rules applicable to boards and commissions as required by law, with a directly elected mayor. The government code says that the mayor must make all appointments to boards and commissions. So our mayor has worked out a process with the support of the city council for for them to advise her and approve her appointments, but she makes those, she is the official appointer, so that we would do that within those parts of our current municipal code. We did add council may but will not be required to give preference to applicants who demonstrate expertise in communications or public relations or public engagement, outreach to diverse populations geographically, demographically, linguistically, and or diversity, equity, and inclusion in general. And then, so those were the rest of the sort of what we were going to add for the commission. We're also gonna be bringing at the same time some additional recommendations that'll be across for all boards and commissions. So that will include an increase to the stipend. It's been several years since we increased the stipend. And so we will be recommending at least, we haven't determined the exact amount, but at least a cost of living increase since the last time that we looked at this. But we will also be surveying other agencies to see, make sure that our stipends are sort of consistent with best practice in our industry. We're also going to recommend that the youth members, they're also called student members on some of our committees, that as long as they continue to be Goleta residents, their sort of graduation from a school, they could serve up to 2 years. If they move away or they have new interests, that's fine, but they can serve, the term will be up to 2 years, unless the student either is no longer a resident in Goleta or decides they don't want to continue to serve after their initial year. So we're also going to create a handbook for boards and commissioners. We're trying to through our clerk's office, do more training for boards and commissioners, provide some guidance about, you know, the Rosenberg's rules of order and ways that this commission works quite well, but help for the chairperson in exactly how to run a meeting, some tips and tricks and things like that. And then just in general, having some better resources, printed resources in a handbook for our boards and commissioners. So we're gonna be doing that as well, but that's across all boards and commissions, but it will likely be the same night, the same item, and it would apply to this board or commission. And so kind of wanted to see if there are any sort of last advice or thoughts you'd like to give us, and you know, or impressions of the plan moving forward.
See, Commissioner Yao has his hand up. So go ahead, Commissioner Yao.
Just a quick question in regards to the whole youth commissioner having interest after graduating. Mm-hmm. I was under the impression, so would the 2-year term carry past the age of 18 or no?
As we are looking at it now, the commissioner would have to be appointed while they were under 18, more than 15, and I'm forgetting the specifics, but under 18, but if they were, if they went, you know, were still serving, it would be okay if they wouldn't be cut off just because they turned 18.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you, Commissioner Yao. Any other questions or comments from fellow commissioners? Hearing none. Thank you, Ms. Schmidt, for that report.
Okay. Appreciate
that. That brings us to item D, future agenda items. Any future agenda items?
To keep it consistent, I want to let you know there's no public comment. There's still no other attendees.
Thank you. Now we'll move to item D. Any future agenda items, commissioners? Seeing none. I want to thank everyone for attending our meeting for today. Commissioner Uribe, yes. Go ahead.
So the one that you suggested, Pedro, was the one of the
geography
representatives and all of that. That could be an interesting topic.
Yeah, we could definitely come back to that and explore it in different ways. I heard a lot of different thoughts, and everyone had some thoughts about it. We can definitely bring that back up, and at the very least explore it and talk about it, how best to do it. Even if we don't move to sort of that direction, how best do we represent the entirety of the city? So thank you for bringing that up, Commissioner Uribe.
Sure.
Any other last thoughts? If not, I want to thank everyone for being on our Public Engagement Commission meeting for today. And with that, I want to adjourn for the evening. I want to thank staff for all of your reports. Yes, Ms. Hoover, go ahead.
I just didn't want the night to go by without wishing Commissioner Yao a great senior year of high school, and welcome all of our Goleta students back to school. And just, it's exciting time to have all the students back.
Thank you so much.
I also just wanted to let everyone know too that our next meeting is October 19th at 6 o'clock. And we do have an agenda item we will be bringing to you. Marcus Martinez is going to present on his hopes and dreams, or his goals for Spanish engagement, and some of the things that he has planned and goals. So you can look forward to that. And then I also wanted to let you know that the Lemon Festival is coming up on September 24th and 25th. And that is a great, we'll have our community relations table out there all weekend, and we'll be putting out information there. And for those of you who came to the DAM dinner, it was a huge success last Saturday. We had many people who were there, as they always come to every single one. And then we had a lot of first time DAM dinner attendees. So it was a great success. And thank you to everyone who showed up.
Thank you. All right. With that, I want to adjourn for this evening. Thank you, everyone, for attending. And we'll see you all next time. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.